If you'd please turn there, and we're going to read from 1 to 18. And it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now, right there, you should learn a lot. Right there, you should not want to be carnal, and you should not want to be a baby in Christ all the time. There's too many babies around. We don't need babies anymore. We need men and women. Amen? We need mature adults. Not snowflakes. Not people getting upset. Not people complaining. Not people always, "Oh, well, they didn't talk to me. They said this to me. They took my parking spot." Like, come on, people. We need to grow up. Can someone say amen? And that's what happens. Christ wants to not only give us new birth, and I understand when you're first a Christian, but after a while, we need to grow up. We need to start being men and women. We don't need more children around. You don't need to act like a kid. And that's what he's saying. Right here, he says, "I wanted to speak unto you as spiritual matters, but I couldn't because you are babies." And now, please don't be a baby in the Lord. Anything bothers you, keep it to yourself. Talk to God about it. If somebody you don't like in church or bothers you, or I don't care if it's your family member, I don't care if it's your neighbor, I don't want to hear about it. Go to God, let Him hear about it. I'm tired of hearing little baby complaints all the time. "He didn't do this, they did this." And, you know, so what? Just get over it, right? Who said that? Joe, remember that? Get over it. Who preached that message? Pat McCluskey. He came to me and said, "I love that message Pat McCluskey preached." Like, just get over it. Get over it. Amen. Look what it says first in verse 2. It says, "I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet are you now able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, 'I'm of Paul,' and another, 'I'm of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watered, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man," pay attention, just underline this, "and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." That's where he's coming into the what we're teaching about here. Everyone's going to receive your own reward according to your own labor. And it goes on in verse 9. It says, "For we are laborers together with God." I wish we could just get that right there. We are working together with God. We are not working. I mean, think about it. God, the creator of all the universe, is willing to work with us. Not only willing to work with us, to work alongside of us. Not only work alongside of us, but to call us to do His work. What an honor that is. And it goes on, it says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." Now, I want you to underline this one. "But let every man take heed how he builds thereon." That's what this Sunday school message is about. Taking heed how you're building. Because each and every one of us will stand before the Lord one day and receive our rewards. This is what it's all about. Please don't get this out of your mind. Don't be one of those people who say, "I don't do it for the rewards." Do it for God. Amen? And you'll get rewards. Jesus, the Lord, got rewarded for His sacrifice on this earth. Jesus the Lord, when He was on this earth and suffered many, many things, went without a home, went without a wife, went without a family, went without His own life, did it all for God. He did it because the Father told Him to do it. And He obeyed the Father, even unto death, even the death of the cross. That Bible says, "Wherefore, because of that, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ," say it with me, "is Lord." He is the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings. There is no other. He is the only way, the truth, and your life. There is no one else you need to listen to, obey, but Him. And when and if you do that in your life, when you stand before Him, He's going to reward you. Just like this Father rewarded him. And he can't wait for that. It's an exciting time. It's an amazing time. It's a time that he's looking forward to. And each and every one of us ought to put in our minds and our hearts what we want to hear. Ready, Anton? Amen. Well done. Amen. That's what I want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. All you got to do is be faithful. You just show up. You know, the biggest ability is your availability. You know, it's the truth. You don't have to have... In God's economy, you don't have to be the smartest, the best looking, or the tallest and handsomest like myself. You can be One person laughed at that. Come on. That's the biggest joke I know. Or I should say like Anton. Or like Joe. Amen. Extremely handsome guy over there with all that hair. You don't have to have talents because you know why? It's God who's called you. It is God that's given you the gifts. And whatever you do it for the Lord because He said so. Because He asked you, commanded you, whatever you want to say it. And when you do it, you're going to stand before the Lord. That's why He says, look what He says. Every man take heed. So this is what we're doing today. We're taking heed, right, Charlie? Because one day, Charlie, you're going to have an award ceremony. You ever have an award ceremony, Charlie? Do you ever win any awards? Never. See, that's what I'm here for, to help you out. So when you get up there, one day it's going to be gazillions of people. And all of a sudden, the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. And they're going to call your name. And Charlie, you're going to walk up and there's going to be angels everywhere. And all the saints and your mom and all is going to be there. And you're going to be walking up feeling really weird. And everyone's going to be like, Charlie, Charlie, Charlie. And then you're going to get up there and the Lord's going to be on His throne. He's going to say, Charlie, or Charles, or whatever He's going to call you. He's going to say, well done. I hope He says that. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And everyone's going to clap and it's going to be like the greatest. Woo! And He's going to give you rewards and He's going to honor you and give you a crown of glory. And everyone's going to shout and sing and have a party because of you. Or you get nothing. So it's up to you. And that's what this is all about. Let's keep reading. It says, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. That means revealed. Everything you've done will be revealed. For the day shall declare it. That's the day of the Lord. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test every man's work. Of what sort it is, of what it was about. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He's going to be like, wah, wah, wah. You're going to think that you're going to get something. It's going to be all burned up. You're going to think you did something for the Lord. Like right now, you're coming to church, right? You came to church on Sunday morning. And that's a good thing. But it's not an excellent thing. It's something you're supposed to do. It's just something you should do anyway. It's like a normal thing. But you came Sunday school. You didn't just come at 11. You came at 10. So maybe you get a little rewards for that. Amen. But it's not even that you did it. It's why you did it. And that's where everything with God is with our heart. Everything with God is with our thoughts and our tents. Who we really are. Not who we pretend to be. Not the outside appearance that we try to fool everybody that, yeah, I'm spiritual. I know God and I love the Lord and me and God are so. You know what I mean? It's not about that outward appearance. It's about the real things going on inside. That's what He's going to reveal to everybody. Look what it says. It says, it shall be revealed by fire of what sort of work it is. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, that he has built on, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. I want you to think what it says. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may really be wise. Amen. Let's look into this. We talked about this stuff before. We talked about gold and what gold represents. Does anybody remember what gold represents?
Purity.
Pure what?
Pure
clothes. Pure what?
Pure love.
Pure love. Anything you do out of the pure love of God is a reward. God sees it. Scrubbing a toilet, changing a diaper, not punching that guy next to you. Whatever you do out of a pure heart for God, God sees it and cha-ching in your account. And it's anything you do out of pure love. And then the second is what we're looking at today, silver. What is silver? And let's look at that, if you will please, with me. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, you're right there. You can see it. It says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. Look what it says. Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest, that means reveal, the counsels of the what? The heart. And then shall every man have his praise of God. So it's not about what you, it's not so much about what you do, Charlie. It's about why you do it. Now, Charles, your mom ever asked you to do something? Did you ever do it, but you didn't want to do it? You did it like, oh, I don't want to do it, but you did it, right? Well, it's good that you did it, but God sees your heart and you don't get any rewards for that. If you do it because you love your mom, you don't want to do it. See, we don't want to clean toilets and we don't want to change dirty diapers and we don't want to go and help people that are struggling with alcohol and drugs and we don't want to be, you know, go through the problems. But if you do it because you love God, God sees it. If you did what she told you to do because you love her, you don't have to like it. You don't have to be all, oh boy, I get to clean my room again. Oh boy, I get to pick up the dog doo in the backyard. Whoopee! No, that doesn't happen. But if you say, you know what, my mom asked me to do it. I love my mom. She takes care of me. I'm going to do it for her. God sees that. But it's not about doing it for her. It's about doing it for him. Amen? And it says that he's going to reveal everything. Look, turn with me, if you would, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. I gave you the verses there so you can see them. 1 Peter 1, 7, I love this. It says that the trial, that's the testing of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto what? Praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith, God has got to test you. He's got to put you through some fires. He's got to put you through some trials. He's got to make sure that you're real. Because if you're not real, you're doing everything in vain and it's for nothing. And God is working and working and working on us. He will continually put more stuff on us that we would never want to put on ourselves. Why? To make us real. You know what the Bible says? How many people, it was actually this past Wednesday, asked for patience. It might have been Anton, a couple of people, I can't remember, they asked for patience. You know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, how you get patience. I know you know this, don't you, Dave? Through tribulation. It says, tribulation worketh patience. Whoa, don't pray for patience, amen? Because more, you know, it's God, if you need patience and you're always flipping out, you're always getting, God's going to give you so much more on your plate so that finally after a while, the little things that are bothering you now won't bother you. The things that you're snapping out over now, you won't snap out over. And that's how we get patience, by real trial and error. I want you to turn with me, if you would please, to Romans chapter 2. Now, you might think that this is extensive. This is just the hem of the garment of what I taught before a few years back and a few years before that about gold, silver, and precious stone. I'm just giving to you a roundup on it. But in Romans chapter 2, are you there? Look with me in verse 16. It says, in the day when God shall judge the what? By Jesus Christ, according to my God. And there's going to come a day when God's going to judge the secret things of your heart that no one else in the world knows. That no one knows your thoughts, no one knows your intents but God. That's why he said, don't you know that the Holy Spirit of God's in you? God is in you. He sees your thoughts. He knows your thoughts. He knows what's going on. Amen? And he allows you to do it all because he wants you to be rewarded according to your merits, not according to him doing it for you. Don't ever be one of those people who said, why doesn't God just do it for me? Even though I said that many times. I wish God would just make me this way. He doesn't. He wants us to be real. And for us to be real, we got to go through some real things. Amen? Yes. And in all reality, it's up to you. That's what you have to understand. It's free will. It's not a will that God makes you do anything. It's free will. That's why we are free moral agents. That's why we are made in the image and likeness of God. Nobody makes God do anything. Nobody tells God to do anything. God, you know what God is? He knows everything. Therefore, he will never sin, cannot sin, because he knows what sin is. He allows us to experience what sin is, experience failure, experience it all, so we know what it is. Amen? Let's move on. Turn with me, if you would, Romans chapter 14. In Romans 14, in verse 10, we see this. It says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why do you set it not your brother? In other words, why are you always condemning other people? Why are you always looking down on other people? Why are you always seeing their faults? Complaining about them. Look what it says. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. where everything that we are, have done, ever even intends to do, shall be judged by the fires of God, the holy fire of God that will burn up anything that's not pure. Anything that's wood, anything that's hay, anything that's stubble is going to be burned up. And all of us, listen to me, all of us build with those materials. All of us build with gold. Hopefully we build with gold. Hopefully we build with silver. Hopefully we build with precious stones. We'll see what that is. But all of us build with wood. And all of us build with hay. And all of us build with stubble. We just do. It's part of life. So what we need to do is, by God, is recognize what it is and work on it and try to use the right material so that one day when we stand before the Lord, we're going to get more rewards. Amen? Turn with me, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 is one of my favorite verses because it just gives us so much knowledge here. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, it says, "For we must," you see that word must? You should underline that. "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." If you are a Christian today, if you have Christ inside of you, if you've been born of God, if your name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, God, Jesus knows you. Amen. You belong to Him. You're one of His. He bought and paid for you. And so therefore, He sent His Spirit inside of you to give you power, to give you grace, to give you wisdom, to help you to do the things that He wants you to do. But He's not going to make you do it. He's a helper. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's Paraclete. He's a helper. He comes alongside us to help us out. He doesn't do it for us, and He doesn't make us not do it. He helps us when we do it. If you want to sit on your couch all day and do nothing, the Holy Spirit's going to let you. But if you want to get up and do something, He's going to be right there to help you with it. Amen? Look what it says. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in His body, according that He has done." Look what it says. "Whether it be good or bad." Look what it says. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." Knowing therefore I'm going to stand before the Lord one day. Knowing therefore that God's going to reveal everything that was in my heart. Everything was in my mind. It's all going to be revealed to God. I don't know. And I hope that He doesn't tell everyone. I hope that everyone doesn't know how pathetic I am. I hope everyone doesn't know how corrupt I am. I hope everyone doesn't know how much, you know what I mean? I keep that to myself. I don't want you to know. I don't want her to know. Not my dog doesn't even know. I don't even share with him. Her. But the truth of the matter is the things that I'm ashamed of, I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to do them. And God sees that. Amen. If you're comfortable in the things that you should be ashamed of, you got some problems. But if you're working on it, God will cover it, be gone forever. Amen. Look what it says. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust that we're made manifest unto your consciences." I want you, for time's sake, I want you to look on the paper that I gave. It says silver, redemption of man. Gold represents purity. It represents deity. It represents the pure love of God. And we went through all those verses last time for that. Silver represents something else. It represents redemption of man. What that means is, and you'll see it, and I only gave a couple sparse verses here, but if you turn me to Genesis chapter 20, in Genesis chapter 20 is the first time it's mentioned, and it's in regards of the redemption of man. And in Genesis 20 verse 16, we see this. It says, "And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other." Thus she was reproved. Here we know that Sarah and Abraham went into this kingdom, and Abraham was afraid that because she was very pretty that they would kill him for her. And so he lied and said, "It's my sister," even though it was half a lie because she's his half sister. So anyway, and the king found out that they were married, and he got upset, and he redeemed Sarah back to her husband with silver. It's the first time. Look with me, if you would, please, to Genesis chapter 37. In verse 28, we have Joseph. We have Joseph now. It says, "And there passed by the Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit. And they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph unto Egypt." All through the Bible, you see silver, it represents redemption. The price of man. The price of another person. For someone else. Look with me, if you would, in Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21, verse 32. Let me know when you're there. It says, this is interesting. It says, if an ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned to death. What he's saying is if an ox kills somebody, if someone's animal, a bull or an ox, knocks them over, kills them, the price of that person's life is 30 pieces of silver. Isn't that weird? 30 shekels of silver. All through Scripture, a price of a person was always done in silver. Not gold, silver. Silver represents redemption. And here, turn with me if you would, please, to Exodus 38. Exodus 38, verse 10. This is we have, and I'm going very quickly. I just want to give you a basis around it. Is that the tabernacle that God told Moses to build? He gave him dimensions. He gave him absolute details of everything. And the tabernacle was a tent erected and put up. And everything in the middle of the tabernacle was of gold. But everything on the outside of the tabernacle was silver and brass, which represents redemption. Silver is always so. When you had the curtains that covered and everything around it, everything was made of silver and everything hung on the silver. Everything, all the sheets, all the curtains, whatever you want to call them, all hung on silver. And it had to be hung on silver. And I want you to look at this verse. It says in verse 10. It says, their pillars were 20, and their brazen sockets were 20. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. You read this for yourself. The silver is mentioned all through it. But everything that was hung on silver. The posts that the poles went in were on silver. And it had to be silver because everything hangs on redemption. Everything hangs on the saving of a person's soul. Everything, the pillars, the sockets, everything hangs on it. Everything is about redemption. And God's love is shown to us through the redemption of man through his son, Jesus Christ. And why did Jesus do it? Well, the first thing he did what he was supposed to do, because he loved God. And he did it because he loved you. And he loved you and he gave his life, he gave himself to you. And what God is trying to tell us that anything that you do out of the love of someone else, just because you love them, you sacrifice for them. You do for them. You help them. God sees it. Because we're going to look in a minute. I get ahead of myself. I want to just say. But let's look real quick at Zechariah chapter 11, if you don't mind. Zechariah 11, 12 and 13. It says this. He said, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price. And if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it into the potter, and a goodly price, that I was prized of them. And he took the 30 pieces of silver and cast it unto the potter into the house of the Lord. This 30 pieces we know is exactly in Matthew chapter 26, verse 15. If you turn there with me, we know that's exactly what they gave Judas for Jesus. He said, what will you give me to sell out my Lord? What will you give me? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. Matthew 26, verse 15. It says, and he said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. From that time, he sought the opportunity to betray him. You know, I wrote in my Bible that he sold out Jesus for money. And I just, you know, you think that sounds terrible, doesn't it? That's terrible, right? Well, people sell out Jesus all the time. You know, so you can sell out Jesus and betray him without handing him over to the Pharisees to be crucified. See, Jesus is my love. I love him. And he wants you to love him. And we're supposed to love him. And the number one commandment we're going to read in a minute is to love the Lord your God with half of your heart. No, with some of your heart. No. You should love Jesus, but also love money. You should love Jesus, yeah, of course, and God. But I also love, you know, my dog and my job and my grandkids. And I love my wife. And I love... That isn't what he said. He said, you love God with all your heart. Amen. And then he didn't stop there. He said, with all your soul, too. And then he didn't stop there. He said, with all your mind. And he didn't stop there. He said, with all your strength. That means everything that you could be inside and everything you do outside, you ought to be doing because you love God. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Matthew 26. Oh, I'm sorry. We just went there. To Matthew 27. It says in verse 9, it says, "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. And they gave him to the potter's field, and the Lord appointed me." It says, who the price of him. I wonder what price we put on the Lord. What price we put on salvation. What price we put on our going to heaven and not going to hell, that Jesus paid it all and did it. What's that value to you when you think about it? So many people sell out Jesus for going golfing on Sunday morning. I have people all the time, and if you're one of them, maybe you'll learn something today. People say, "Well, I can't come to church because I got a one-year-old birthday party." Really? You tell that to God. It's His day. You're ripping Him off. You do everything for everybody. You go to work. You do everything you can for everybody else. And all of a sudden, on His day, a little birthday party is more important than Him? You stand before the Lord and tell Him that. Because it's ridiculous. You sold out for less than 30 pieces. You know, and I found this out, that when I became a real Christian, started serving God and walking with the Lord, that the devil's going to try to get you out of church. And he's going to try to get you not being faithful. Amen. That's why he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the truth of the matter is that these birthday parties, little children, they're usually not at 11 a.m.
Right.
They're usually not at 12. They're usually like around 1 or 2. So I found that everything that I thought that I had to miss, you know, to go, I found it that I can go to church and do that.
Yeah.
It's the devil's trying to, I can't come to church, I have a birthday party. Oh, that's a great excuse. A birthday party? Really? I mean, really? I have a wedding. First of all, nobody should ever get married on Sunday unless it's after church.
Yeah.
People, I feel sorry for you parents that have kids in sports. Because the sports are run by the God of this world, and they make sure that you miss church on Wednesday night. Oh, they make sure everything's on Wednesday night and Sundays. And on Saturdays, because of course you can't go out telling people about Jesus. You think it's a joke, it's not. You think you sell out Jesus all the time. And what's his price? A birthday party? A sporting event? You know, what's his price? And what's your price for him? What do you value him? And that's exactly what the Bible says. Turn with me if you would, please, Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 36. I love this verse. You should underline it. Start. It says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." And look what it says. This is the first and great commandment. Don't you think we ought to keep that? Come on, help me now. Don't you think we ought to keep that? Don't you think we ought to work for that? Don't you think we ought to work for that? I don't know about you, but I don't know if I've ever done it. I don't know if I've ever loved Him with all my heart, all my soul. I know some of it. I know sometimes I feel like I have, but I don't know. Each and every one of us have work to do. Amen? What our job to do is to love God with all our heart. But that is the first part. The second part, that's gold. Amen? That's gold. And when you stand before the Lord, everything you did for the pure love of God will not be burned up. That's going to be a reward. The second thing is the silver. Amen? Anything you do for someone else because you love them. You know what the greatest love there is? The greatest love there is, Jesus said, is that a man would lay down his life for his friends. We're going to read that verse in a minute. I told you I got ahead of myself. But the truth of the matter is when you look, God so loved, what did He do? He gave. What did He do? I mean, He sacrificed. He suffered for who? For you. But you say, "He didn't know me." No, actually, you were His enemy. Actually, you were His enemy. And He still loved you enough to die for you. And so He says to us, look what it says. This is the first and great commandment, verse 29. And the second is just like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love. You say, "Wow, it looks, sounds like so big of a deal. I wish you'd tell me to go beat up a bad guy. I wish you'd tell me to go and stop a robbery. I wish you'd tell me to go and climb a mountain." That's what works do. See, that's a work salvation. God wants you want to do something because you know you're able. But when God wants you to be something, that's hard. That's harder. Be something that you're not normally. Be something. Be kind. Be loving. Be generous. Be sacrificial. That's against your nature. That's why Jesus Christ gives us a new nature. That's why we must be born again. Look at maybe what, please, in John 15. John 15, verse 13. Well, actually, we'll read 12 down to 15. It says, this is my commandment. Now, Christ is talking to us. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. I love this. You are my friends, Jesus said. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I just want to tell you right now that the number one commandment is to love God. Whatever God asks you to do, do it. You might not want to. You don't have to feel it. Just do it. Why? Because you love Him. And the more you do out of love, the more and easier it gets. And the more times you do it, the more welcoming it is. And the more times you're going to get other people to do it with you. Thank you for loving the Lord. Thank you for loving Jesus and being here today. It means a lot to this church. It means a lot to your family. It means a lot to you. But it means to God. Turn with me, if you would, please, to John 3:16. Well, we can quote it, can't we? You ready? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, that's hell, but have everlasting life. And God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And I'm here to tell you that this love is given to us, shown to us. We've got an example of what to do. Love God. And you might, in your own way, say, I do that. I don't know. But when it comes to loving one another, you can't hide that inside. You can't. Loving other people means you're going to do something for them. The greatest love you can do for somebody is save their souls from going to hell. The greatest love you can do for somebody is give them a chance to not burn in hell forever through the gospel of Jesus. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 6 to 8. It says, for when we were yet without strength, see, it means we couldn't do anything. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly, because we were ungodly. Listen to what it says, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet, preventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet wicked, He died for us. While we were yet His enemy, He died for us. That's why He tells us, love your enemies. As I have loved you. It doesn't mean you have to go kiss them. It doesn't mean you have to go give them a hug. It does mean if they're hungry, feed them. It does mean if they're naked, clothe them. It does mean if they're thirsty, give them a drink. It does mean pray for them. But most importantly, it does mean love them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make sure they get the gospel. Amen. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 4. We sing this as a song. And I want to hurry up so I can get through these couple verses. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 down to 11, it says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. And he knows God. For he that loveth not knows not God. For God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. And His love is perfected in us. See, anything you do out of the love of someone else, God sees it and you rewards in heaven. That's silver. You can do anything you want, coming to church, doing stuff for God, but if you're not doing that of pure love, it's going to be burnt up. You can do anything you want for other people, help people. Mother Teresa spent her whole life feeding people. I have no idea her intents, but God's going to judge them. See, the truth of the matter is what good is her feeding someone if they went off to hell? The greatest thing to feed them is the Word of God. Amen? Look at me, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, this is where we get, how can you do it? How can we love like God tells us to love? How can I love my neighbor? How can I love my friends? How can I love myself? Because of this. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. It says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise your heart. And the heart of your seed to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. How can I do it, Angela? Because God changes my heart. He cuts my heart away. Makes it tender. God makes us. He doesn't tell us to do something we can't do. He is the one that has given unto us a good heart, a clean heart, a heart that's tender, a heart that cares. Amen. Turn with me in 2 Timothy 1:7. And I'm going to finish. Thank goodness. Second Timothy 1:7 says, well, verse 6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up, and this is what God wants us to do, stir up the gift of God that is in you by putting on my hands. And he says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I'm here to tell you, he says, God has given us power to be able to love him. God has given us love in our hearts to love one another. See, so when you say, I can't do it, yes, you can. If you've got Christ in you, you can. If you've got the power of the Holy Ghost in you, you can love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can love your neighbor. You can love one another. You can. And if you don't, it's because you don't want to. And you're stubborn, and you're jealous, and you're envious, and you have divisions, and you're carnal, and you're a babe, and one day you're going to stand before the Lord, and you're not going to get any rewards. Last verse, 1 Peter 1, verse 2. It says this. Seeing that you have purified your souls, how? In obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. How? Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25, the word of the Lord endures forever. I'm here to tell you right now, you say, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Obey the Holy Spirit. Obey the Lord. Do what he says to do. And you might say, well, I don't know how. Just do it because you love him. You don't have to say, well, I'm going to do it because I love doing it. No, I'm going to do it because I love God. Amen. And I'm going to do it because I love them and I don't want them to go to hell. Let's pray. Almighty God in heaven, our Father, we come to you in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for Jesus, Lord. We receive Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, as the way, the truth, the life. He is the only way to heaven. Through his blood and through his sacrifice, our sins are washed, cleansed, forgiven. Amen. And then we have been given the Spirit and you circumcised our hearts. You've given us a new heart. A new Spirit lives and dwells in us. We are able to do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Help us, Lord God, to obey you and to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love one another. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.